Okay, everybody, welcome back to the Christmas edition of Addiction and Redemption. I apologize for not releasing episodes for, I think, about a week, maybe even a little bit longer. I think it's 1 week and 1 day. I've been traveling. I've been in Chicago, and I just been hanging out with family and honestly just haven't wanted to do it. Been taking a little bit of a break. Somebody harassed me and told me to release the next episode, so shout out to you for supporting me in kicking myself in the ass to get another episode put out. And I'm actually in my parents' house. You might hear some noise in the background. My brother's here with his three kids and his wife, and we got some Ghosts of Christmas Present dancing around for the special holiday edition of Addiction and Redemption. And this is actually the house where the majority of the story is just taken place in, or took place in. So I'm actually in my bedroom. This isn't the bedroom that I had when I was a kid, but it was the bedroom that I was living in when all this shit was going on. So it always stirs up memories. It's kind of cool because this will be the 11th Christmas now in a row that I haven't ruined. And 12 Christmases ago is where we left off, or Thanksgiving, rather. So we left off with Thanksgiving and Ritalin and just this horrible, just this, the habit had just become disgusting. I had become a miscreant, or even, I like this word, a miscreature, which I actually found as a synonym. When I was writing this story not too long ago, miscreature. I was just a miscreature, just this disgusting creation. Not miscreature, miscreation. That's the word. I had become this miscreation, and it had just gotten so nasty and so gross. And I cleaned up for a little bit in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I remember I would start waking up in the mornings and just smoking lots of weed, and that would actually help me. It would help me to not drink or get really high. When I refer to getting high in this, by the way, I'm talking about heroin. I'm not talking about weed. So I would, if I could wake up in the morning and smoke some weed, I would be able to make it through the day. And I had this friend, Chris, and Chris would sometimes, he worked full time, but he would pick me up in the evenings often, and we would go to these fellowship gatherings. I'll just call them fellowship gatherings or fellowship meetings. And I was starting to get plugged in with this fellowship more and more, and I was starting just a little bit to listen to what they had to say. But I was still just so insanely addicted. I was still just really powerless over this stuff. And I couldn't string together more than a few days. And then I would get together a couple of days, and then I would go back out. And I know that around Christmas time, I didn't use for several days there, if I remember correctly. I know I almost put together 30 days clean somewhere in this stretch. I almost got 30 days. It was like 26 or 27, and I somehow, I came into some money. I can't remember exactly where I got the money from, but I ended up with a pocket full of money, like 130 or 140 bucks, and it was just back out there. And this is when it all starts to just blend together into this really blurry, scary, dark cauldron of existence. This is when it just started to get really bad. And this is when I sort of took the plunge into just next level junkie status. Like, this is when it just got really, really, really bad. And at some point in here, I want to say it was right after the first of the year of 2007, somewhere in there, I got a job. I had gone to the city, and I got nice and high, and I was coming back from the city, and I stumbled into a restaurant downtown Glen Ellyn called Mika's, and I just said to the guy working there, "Hey, I used to work here 10 years ago or whenever that was. I'd like a job." And he said, "Well, we're looking for somebody," and they just gave me a job at Mika's. And Mika's, this really sweet little Vietnamese lady who she was actually kind of scary when you worked for her when she got mad at you, but she was just really wonderful. But when I got that job, I got access to money, and when I got access to money, I would use that money to use. And so this job very much contributed to my downfall. And the more I worked there, that everything just came back like full swing after the new year. So it's just the dead of winter, 2007. It's just this the dead of just the dead of Chicago winter, and just that awful freezing, snowy, icy cold. And the alcoholism part of me just came back full swing, and I started drinking and drinking and drinking. And I would work the day shifts at this restaurant, and I would get there early in the morning, like maybe 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning to work the lunch shift. And immediately upon getting there, I would look for a bottle of wine, and I would just steal a bottle of wine essentially and guzzle the whole thing. I paid her, Mika actually passed away very recently, but I did pay her back for this, you know, after I got sober down the road. But I would get there early, and I would guzzle a bottle of cheap wine in literally 15 seconds, 15 to 30 seconds. I would get there, and I would plot, and I would ploy, and I would scope the place out, and if nobody was watching me, I would be able to get a bottle of wine from this little wine rack thing they had, and I would be able to pour the wine into a styrofoam cup with nobody watching, and then I have the styrofoam cup full of wine, and I would be able to slam that while nobody was looking, and I'd just be drunk by like, this is like 10 in the morning. And it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And they're all on to me. So like there are these Mexican guys that work there, and this one in particular did not like me, and he would watch me. And I would cop this attitude towards him and be like, fucking, so, you know, Alejandro is fucking watching me all the time. I would sort of talk shit about him, but he knew what was going on with me. He was totally hip to my shit. So at this point, I'm just this like alcoholic junkie thief. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And there are all of these stories that happened in there that I can't really remember. I'm going to just try to recall a few and use those as, you know, to sort of illustrate the larger story, kind of like I've been doing. But I really want to emphasize the fact that things were getting very, very weird. You're going to hear some Christmas elves outside my door dancing around. You might hear them in the background. It's my niece. Anyway, and it just got weirder and weirder and weirder. And I became more and more powerless. And there were these cute girls. There was this really cute girl named Hillary who worked at the restaurant. And there was my buddy Scott. Scott was the guy that basically ran the place and managed the place. And he's the one that gave me the job. And him and I really connected. We were friends. And at some point, he figured out what was going on with me, or I shared what was going on with me with him. And he was there for me. And he had this wife who's really sick. She had this really bad kidney problems. And she had been sick for a decade. He'd been taking care of her. She was a few years older than him. And I would go over to their house sometimes after work. And they were just very kind to me. And as the story progressed towards the very end, these two, Scott and Michelle, were the only two people I had left in the world. There were a couple of others. My friend Andrew was there, my friend Max was there, and my friend Paul was there. and then my parents were there, but I became so just delusional. I was just so, it was just this really dark dystopian nightmare, as I refer to it, I think, in the last episode. It was just dystopian. And there were people around me who cared for me. And in so many ways, these people were my anchors to some semblance of reality or some semblance of who I once was or some access point to the old Dave. Like, my spirit underneath of all of this was still intact. There was still something about me that was still me. So I'm going to end this episode there, and I'm going to transition into some of the particulars, I think, in the next few episodes. And thanks again for listening. This has been, I think, episode 31 of Addiction and Redemption. So Merry Christmas and have a beautiful day, and we'll be posting before the new year. Bye-bye.